Hello, friends, and welcome back to Technology Now, a weekly show from Hewlett-Packard Enterprise where we take what's happening in the world and explore how it's changing the way organizations are using technology. We're your hosts, Aubrey Lovell.
And Michael Bird. In this episode, we are looking at the role AI is playing in fighting cybercrime. It's an ongoing battle, as cybercriminals are using AI to carry out increasingly sophisticated attacks. AI models are being trained to help prevent them. But are the businesses and individuals using AI focused enough on adopting security across the board? Is an innovation over regulation attitude increasing risks? And how quickly and effectively can AI-led security detect or even prevent cyber attacks?
So if you're the kind of person who needs to know why what's going on in the world matters to your organization, this podcast is for you. And if you haven't yet, subscribe to your podcast app of choice so you don't miss out. All right, let's get into it.
Let's do it.
So according to a report published by the UK National Cybersecurity Center, in January 2024, artificial intelligence will increase the number and the severity of cyber attacks over the next 2 years. And there are plenty of threats to counter. There are currently more than a billion malware programs in existence, and 560,000 new pieces are being detected every day. The report, shared by the AV Test Institute, also suggests that 4 companies are becoming victims of ransomware attacks every single minute.
But if AI trained models can cause this level of disruption, can't we just train other AI models to detect and protect us from the attacks? Well, it's something that's been taken seriously across the board. In August 2023, the White House launched a competition to encourage AI-based security protection for essential government systems. The, quote, AI Cyber Challenge encourages competitors across the United States to identify and fix software vulnerabilities using AI.
But it's not a simple task, not at the moment anyway. AI and generative AI training is open to bias, to hallucinations or false answers, and to manipulation of the data used to train it, known as data poisoning.
And then you need to get organizations on board with the level of security they need to prevent AI-led cyber attacks. So how are AI models being developed to effectively tackle cybercrime? What is the potential of generative AI for stopping cybersecurity threats? Well, to fill us in is Rohini Chavakula, AI security lead at Hewlett-Packard Enterprise.
Thanks for joining us, Rohini. So, first question, how is AI changing the way we protect ourselves and our information?
So, firstly, with AI and Gen AI around us, there's a caution because security and privacy were not so important or at least not so focused before AI and now with Gen AI. Now that AI is using every pin of information about us for either our benefit or against, protection of our information became key focus. Like individuals taking care by simple precautions, like they started looking at the configurations, permissions, allowed, not allowed options of each and every software in their mobiles and devices which they use for any potential data leakage, security and privacy. As any of these misconfigurations, known or unknown, can actually leak their information to the public domain where we have no control on how it's used by AI and Gen AI models. In the age of AI, it's all information protection. Protecting our identity is critical here. And that's changing, and everyone is cautious about it now.
So what are some of the biggest challenges facing the use of AI as a security option?
Humans without any AI-based solutions around them cannot fight AI attacks because of the growing threat landscape and the growing data. A human looking at all these is not possible. So one thing is very clear that we need AI systems as defense mechanisms to protect us from the AI attacks. AI can also help us maybe by instantly detecting the possibility of malware and also predicting a malware attack and helps us to get ready to either protect the assets and also mitigate the impact. Because AI can also automate some processes like patch management, or maybe quarantine the suspecting system, or maybe blocking malicious IP or address. And also something like infecting machine is identified, so we can actually quarantine that quite faster with automated processes in place, comparatively a manual human actually going and then doing that. But with this growing adoption and, you know, seeing a lot of automation of manual process, a lot of automation around threat detection, still the human in loop is critical, because at least some of the remediation action where the impact is severe is something where humans should still control. Because the quality of the data, which is a very critical challenge here, is key. And consolidating all of it is still a work in progress. So this is a key challenge which majority of the organizations are trying to solve by consolidating the data so that the bias in the model outcomes can be controlled. And then we can detect the right anomaly there. And also another challenge I see here is in the security space, more than false positives, I focus more on false negatives. Because false positives really mean that there are false alarms where a security analyst had to spend some time to understand if that alarm is an accurate one or it's a false one. But in case of false negatives, which is nothing but not identifying a threat before it impacts, is highly risky. And it's very challenging if we really don't identify that through our models. So leveraging the resources efficiently is another key challenge. With all these AI augmented solutions supporting the IT analyst, next point is how this IT analyst or the system admin is leveraging these insights for quick actions or the quick remediations. If they're not efficiently using them and not able to take that action as fast as it is required before it impacts, it's not so useful. So that's where the skilled cybersecurity resources are key, to leverage these insights, understand that, and then make those actions immediately. And one last challenge is regulations. Because for a person who is coming with an ill intent to use AI and GenAI, don't really look at the norms, regulations around the data collection, etc. But an organization going with a good intent must follow these norms and comply to regulations around the collection of the data and uses of the data by the AI models to give an effective cybersecurity solution. It's still a very key challenge.
So, Rainey, what threats do the cyber criminals pose as hackers to AI systems?
This huge, huge list. Across the AI lifecycle, there is a scope for different sort of attacks. And the threat landscape framework actually detail out different attacks. Based on the trends, what I observed are there are very few attacks which has taken the turns. Like model poisoning attack, where the model can be poisoned through the vulnerabilities I talked about. And also there is a possibility with the data poisoning, where attackers can actually manipulate the data, which is used to train the AI models, and make that malicious information so that it really leads to some biased or inaccurate model results. Similarly, adversarial attacks, which we talk about, where maybe attacker is not really changing the complete data set which is used for training, but a sample of that data set slowly, which can actually lead to the model manipulation and changing the complete outcome of the model. Model tampering, where they exploit the vulnerabilities in the system, in the AI models, and inference attack. Attackers can actually reverse engineer the whole AI model and the kind of data which that AI model may be consuming, because attacker knows what the model is all about. Attacker knows what the data is going into that. So then it becomes easy to compromise that system for the data leakage or the privacy, and also the security of the data is at risk in that case. And there's one other attack which I'm seeing recently, which is denial of service, which is predominantly common in the general security space, but it's also applying to AI systems, where attackers flood the system with requests in order to disrupt its operations.
Can you talk us through how AI models need to be protected?
Using a very simple analogy, if an individual is riding a two-wheeler, one critical element here is having a helmet. Protecting AI models are just like helmet in my view. If the AI model is not protected, then it can create entry points for attackers through known or unknown vulnerabilities in the system. Is there any malicious injection happened to the AI model? We don't really understand that unless we look at the monitoring of the AI model inflow, outflow. It's very important to look at all that from an external security layer or an external protection layer with the guardrails to filter the input and output flow of what's going into the model, what's coming to out of the model, and security controls around the model to block these attackers entering into these models, and having inference solutions and infrastructure protected, we can protect these models. I won't call it as 100% at this moment because it's still a space which is evolving. And there is no attestation at this moment to say that these AI models have no vulnerabilities. Of course, the space is evolving with solutions to scan the AI model for vulnerabilities, protecting these models from, you know, adversarial attacks, and protecting the models from deviations, from data poisoning attack or some sort of attacks.
Absolutely fascinating. Thank you so much. And we'll be back with Rohini in a moment, so don't go anywhere.
Well, it is time for Today I Learned, the part of the show where we take a look at something happening in the world that we think you should know about.
It is definitely my turn this week. So are you ready?
Oh, I'm ready.
Okay, buckle up. A team of scientists who are using AI to analyze rock samples for signs of present or past life have called the test, quote, the holy grail of astrobiology. Ooh. The research team, led by professors Robert Hazen and Jim Cleaves, found that a machine learning-based test they developed has 90% accuracy when it comes to distinguishing between former living and non-living material. Interesting. The test involves running materials analysis on rock samples, splitting it up into gas and component molecules, and then using AI to compare minute differences in over 130 known examples of once living and non-living compounds. The findings were published in the journal Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences. It's thought the test could reveal the history of ancient rocks on Earth and possibly even be used on samples already collected by the Mars Curiosity Rover's Sample Analysis at Mars, or SAM, instrument. All of which means one day AI could find what's left of ancient life.
Ooh, very interesting. Thank you, Aubrey. Right, now it's time to return to our guest, Rohini Chavakula, to talk about the potential for AI and generative AI to stop cyber threats. So Rohini, I'm just going to dive straight back in if that's okay. Will we see a time when AI-trained models will fight head-to-head in the battle of good versus evil?
See, as of today, based on what I have observed, leading a fight between AI systems is possible. Without a human input, is it possible as of today? I'm not very certain, but I won't deny that of a future possibility here. Because at this moment, there is a need for human input, at least to trigger or guide initially while they are deploying or positioning an AI system for an attack purpose or a defense purpose. The human trigger at the initial stage is still important. But like I mentioned, I won't deny this a future possibility because there are so many possible scenarios which are in exploration phase where attackers are trying to create a system where AI hack into an AI model, just like a normal IT system hack into another system, exploiting the vulnerabilities like code errors, configuration issues, etc. Still, human trigger is needed in my view. But in future, maybe like how we are thinking of AI can protect AI, AI can hack as well AI without human intervention. And all these possible combinations are in exploration. So with actors and defenders trying their best use of AI and Gen AI solutions to create attacks and also defense solutions, there is a possibility that these two will get into a stage that they fight itself.
Will the growing availability of open source AI lead to greater security risks from amateur hackers?
Well, there is a high possibility, and it is happening at this moment. Because AI is proved to be beneficial for humans to scale and make efficient outcomes. And the results are promising in this space. At the same time, the threat actors are also seeing promising results with these AI and Gen AI solutions. When we started, looking at how AI can support customers, AI can support, organizations, threat actors also started looking at how AI can support them to create malwares. Both of us are on the same journey. And this rise of AI and Gen AI free models specifically amplifies the cyber threat landscape, which is what happening at this moment. With AI, anyone with bad intent or an intent where they wanted to do something different can easily create this malware rapidly without much effort and can actually automate their attacks and enhance the effectiveness of scams. Phishing emails can be just created, which just resembles a legitimate mail. Because earlier, phishing emails were detected through the grammar, sentence formation, and a couple of those pointers and very small changes in the URLs embedded into it. But those now, the phishing emails are so, look like a legitimate. I myself, was so amazed by the kind of phishing emails I'm seeing these days that it's hard to detect whether it is a phishing email or a legitimate email. So the cyber threats landscape is becoming more dangerous day by day. And without any doubt, AI and Gen AI tools are playing a big role in it.
Thanks so much, Rohini. It's been great to talk. And you can find more on the topics discussed in today's episode in the show notes. All right, we're getting towards the end of the show, which means it's time for This Week in History, a look at monumental events in the world of business and technology, which has changed our lives.
And Aubrey, I don't know if you remember last week's clue. It's 1965. And when it comes to computers, we want more. I added the emphasis there. Anyway, did you get it? It's the publication of Moore's Law, of course, by Gordon Moore in Electronics Magazine. Now, Moore predicted that transistor density on integrated circuits would double roughly every 18 months for the next 10 years and likely beyond. He didn't name the theory after himself, but it quickly became known as Moore's Law in his honor. There's some argument over whether Moore's Law still applies today, but generally it's been reliable up to this point, nearly 60 years after his initial prediction. Will it continue to be held as a standard in computer development? Well, only time will tell.
That's pretty awesome. And it's amazing to think about how far we've come, right? I mean, I'm trying to do the math in my head around how much more powerful that would make computers, but someone needs to give me a calculator because I got stuck somewhere between the tens of millions. Anyway, the clue for next week is it's 1999 and this virus went nuclear. Do you know? Well, don't tell. That brings us to the end of Technology Now for this week. Thank you to our guest, Rohini Chavakuler, AI Security Lead at Hewlett-Packard Enterprise. And to our listeners, thank you so much for joining us.
Technology Now is hosted by Aubrey Lovell and myself, Michael Bird. And this episode was produced by Sam Datapoulin and Al Booth, with production support from Harry Morton, Zoe Anderson, Alicia Kempson, Alison Paisley, Alyssa Mitri, Camilla Patel, and Chloe Suo.
Our social editorial team is Rebecca Wissinger, Judy Ann Goldman, Katie Guarino, and our social media designers are Alejandra Garcia, Carlos Alberto Suarez, and Ambar Maldonado.
Technology Now is a Lower Street production for Hewlett-Packard Enterprise, and we'll see you at the same time, same place next week.